I'm Tam.
And I'm Eternally Mortal.
And this is the Hidden Egg Podcast, where we talk about vulnerability.
And stuff, and things.
And I have this new, well, it's not a new website, but I have revamped the monsteralley.com website. I just wanted to put that early in so that people heard it before they clicked away. That is all.
Yeah, check out themonsteralley.com. It's been revamped a little bit, and it looks great. Check it out. It's awesome.
Okay, so first things first, we're not able to do last week's episode for reasons, but technically, if you're just following along on Spotify, you won't even notice, really, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, if you come to it later. If you're listening to us live, first of all, thanks. That's pretty awesome. But yeah, we were off last week doing a little bit of self-care, taking care of ourselves through a little bit of a downtime. But we're back and going to react to a couple of articles and showcase some vulnerability.
So are you ready for article number one?
Yeah.
Do you know which one that's going to be?
Have you decided which one that's
going to be? I have an order for them.
Surprise me. Or do you want me to guess?
I can just surprise you. It's fine. I'm not attracted to my overweight wife anymore article.
Ah, yes.
Which is one of the few that don't have a picture that I am like, yeah, this is actually pretty good. I usually like a picture. Everybody likes a good picture, you know?
Yeah.
But this one didn't really need it, in my opinion.
I don't know if we have up to this point, but do we want to just like shout out the name of the writer?
Yeah. This was written by Dr. Samantha Rodman Whiten, a.k.a. Doc. Is it Whitten?
It could be either
one. Could be Whitten. A.k.a. Dr. Psych Mom on Medium.com.
Yeah. And it seems like Dr. Psych Mom is kind of a social media presence for this person. And so, you know, check them out. This was a really interesting article that examined the vulnerability of someone else, actually.
Yeah. So I already know how I feel about it, and I've already talked with one of our mutual friends about how I feel about it. I want to know what you think about it so that I don't taint your perspective.
Okay, so I definitely had, for context, in case you haven't read the article, of course, there is a, it's an article, it basically is a showcase of a, I don't know if it was a question letter or whatever, but it was a man who is no longer attracted to his wife because she's gained weight. And that's pretty clear from the title, I guess. And I struggled with the idea of a person that you love, like losing that love, any part of that love, any little, like the lust part of that love because of a change in body structure. But I know it certainly does happen. It's a real thing that real people experience, certainly. And this person, the writer, I can't remember her name anymore. I just scrolled past it. Dr. Psych Mom was really understanding in her response. I thought it was amazing. Truly. In her response to it, should I just continue? I feel like I should let you talk if you need to.
I was just going to say Ben said something about that he's actually gone through that. I assume you weren't the one that was overweight. No offense, you just don't look like a guy that's been overweight. maybe long, long ago. I guess that's always possible. But yeah, I think there's been other people that have had similar experiences. I'm not telling you my opinion on it just yet. I want to get to the end of your thing, but. But Ben's statement, basically, I wish beauty standards didn't get to me, but they do. And I think that's pretty common.
It
if
is.
If I'm being honest.
Like, I fight myself to try and love everyone for who they are. But I absolutely, like, if I see a person that adheres to the beauty standards that just live in my brain, then, like, I'm immediately attracted. I immediately want to make them smile if I can have any chance of doing that. So I think everybody, to a certain extent, does. Just reading about it, like, threw me for a little while. But like I said, Dr. Psych Mom was really understanding and there's some, I don't want to get too much in the weeds of like saying every aspect of the article, but like, you know, there's some trauma that led to that position for this gentleman. And I got it. And her response, I thought, was really well thought out and compassionate to both people. I still feel like the overweight wife might just feel attacked from some of this, and so I worry about that sort of thing, but it's not really like who gives a shit what I think, honestly.
That's why we're here, is that's literally what we're listening to, is what you think.
Yeah, I guess that's why we're here. That's true. Hey, how's it going? But yeah, I mean, I don't know that the overweight wife is going to read Dr. Psych Mom's article to get any sort of reaction from it. But like, that's what I look at when I see it, is how it pertains to everybody. You know what I mean? And we both paused
So
to read
yeah,
Ben's
we all had to
message.
pause. So Ben said, sometimes I feel like some people who say they're sapiosexual are lying to themselves a little. It's rare to be attracted to someone who's truly hideous from what I've seen. And I would agree. Are you finished with your opinion? I don't want to like cut you off if you're still
No,
in the middle of expressing it.
I feel like I've expressed a good deal of the general feeling that I have for the article. Go ahead.
Okay, because this is a good segue into mine, and I think the doctor is 100% spot on. And she's gotten a lot of flack for it. Basically, she was telling him that like he doesn't get to control what he's attracted to, because none of us control what we're attracted to. It's one thing to say if he's like going out of his way to shame her, then yeah, that's wrong. But it's another thing entirely to suggest that if she gains weight, he has to somehow change this fundamental part of who he is and what he's attracted to, regardless of the fact that she could just lose the weight. And I'm not saying that she has to lose the weight. If she's happy with that, with who she is in that body, and that's what she wants to be, more power to her. But that does not give her the license to try to change him either. Like, this might be a case where they now are no longer compatible.
Yeah, and I think I read in there that they're separated or whatever, and maybe that is the right path. Absolutely, because you know, I would want people that are in a partnership of that sort to be attracted to each other, you know, in multiple ways, including physically. There's definitely like some people that I've seen that were over 80 and still loved holding hands and cuddling with each other. That's a physical intimacy that still exists, even though they're, you know, 80. And not necessarily up to beauty standards of today. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm technically overweight, right? So
Sure.
I don't know if I'm obese. I don't know that that's the, like, if I am, I'm on like the very, like, percentage wise, I'm on the very tip of it, maybe. But I know I'm definitely overweight. My doctors have been telling me I need to lose like 20 pounds or something. So it hits me in the same way that it would hit the wife. I'm terrified of somebody like my partner being like, yeah, I just don't find you attractive anymore. But I don't find that to be a him problem. It's not like we actually discussed this when we started dating, where he had an obese partner and she was abusive. And even before her abuse, he like pushed himself to act like he was attracted to her, because he didn't want to feel like he was too superficial. And like we talked in the beginning of our relationship, and I'm like, if I ever get to that point, we shouldn't be having sex. Like, I should be working on whatever it is that's making me obese at that point. It's not an us problem, it's a me problem. And that, like, that might, if that breaks our relationship, then we'll try the best we can. But like, never once did it occur to me to try to like force him to just push through it. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Right. This guy did specifically mention that he was nice the first several times, but then became not nice about it. And so I wonder what that looks like. There's
That's
a.
fair. That is a good point. Like, if he's gotten mean about it, then that's definitely not okay. but that might be because he had an obese mother that abused him, and that could be him being triggered by her kind of being in a body that reminds him of his abusive mother, which isn't her fault,
Right.
and is something that he would probably benefit from some therapy about. But
Absolutely.
assuming that he's not being like a complete dick about it, I mean, he might just be upset because she's trying to push him to do something that it says that they had talked about it before she gained the weight, and that she used to understand, and then she gained the weight, and now she's no longer understanding. So, like, I don't know what she's saying and doing either. I'm not gonna pick sides on who's being worse here. But the issue about it, the overweight sexuality attraction thing, at its face value for me, might just be a deal breaker now.
Yeah, I agree. It might be a deal breaker. And, if it does break that deal, I do hope that they go and find other loves. Excuse me a second. Sorry. And in the letter, there was a lot of love expressed still for the person inside the meat suit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, like, I'm glad to see that they seem to be like continuing the friendship. I think that that's delightful. But we actually don't hear a whole heck of a lot about her perspective for the majority of that post or that letter that he wrote. Because the beginning, and it does indeed say that she, knew that it was a trigger for him, knew that he had been abused in this way, and wanted to be conscientious of that and just let me know, to quote unquote, just let me know. And it didn't work out that way, but we haven't heard what her responses to
Right.
his pressure have been. And
There's a lot of things we
Dr.
don't know in this.
Right, and Dr. Psychmom, I think, brings up a really good point in the article as well about how, sometimes when someone feels pressured to do something from someone else, it completely eradicates the ability and motivation to do that. And when
Right.
that pressure is alleviated, sometimes it can be a lot easier to work on it. And she said that she's like, I don't know if this person, if your wife wants to work on her weight or not. But if she does, it might be a lot easier for her to do so if you were able to just not pressure her about it. Be as nice and comfortable and relaxed as you can be, and do the best you can to help her by not pressuring her.
Can I share a weird perspective that I just thought of? Oh,
Sure.
well, let's look at Liu Good's thing. Yeah, is he meeting her expectations? I wish we could get her angle too. I just don't think we're gonna get more than what we get.
Yeah. And I'm in the weeds. Go ahead.
It's just I just thought of this weird perspective that I have. So you know how like there's heartthrob celebrities, right? There's
Sure.
people that society generally says are more attractive. They put them at the 10. So, I'm going to name a name and you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. George Clooney, right?
Yeah.
I find him to be hideous. I am not sexually attracted to that man at all. Does he care? No, of course not. But my point is, if I were in a relationship with a man that looked like George Clooney, there'd be no point. There's nothing I could do to force myself to be sexually attracted to him. It's just not something I'm capable of, because that's how attraction works. You get a certain statistics of what you want that you kind of have to work within.
Right, absolutely. And you saying that is a perfect example because it helps me, see the differences in
Yeah.
just perception. Because, like, for me, George Clooney, as a person for the last 25 years since he was on, what was it, ER or some
Yeah,
bullshit?
not was it ER? I think you're
Don't
right. I think it was
remember.
ER.
But whatever he was on for that entire time, he has looked like a caricature. Like someone drew a face and it wanted to make it look a little exaggerated and funny. So I get what you're saying. However, George Clooney has certainly delivered lines in a smooth and confident way that I've been like, ooh, come over here, Mr.
Yeah, I
Caricature.
like his personality, but there's something about him physically I am just not attracted to.
Yeah,
And I
and I
don't know
totally
what. I
get that.
couldn't tell you what. I have no idea, but I do know that it is a pretty regular thing that traditionally attractive men are unattractive to me. I am more attracted to people that are statistic like from society's view, less attractive people than I am to the ones that are conventional tens.
Right. And that's just preference. Because
Yeah.
preference exists. There's some people that don't like to agree about that, but preference exists. We're all attracted to kind of weird or specific or quirky things in
That's
ways
kind of
that are
what you
difficult.
good was saying. It's the Riz, you know, they just have a
Right.
certain like pizzazz about their personality. But even if a traditionally attractive man had that, like George Clooney, he has that kind of pizzazz going on about him. I just, it's not, it just doesn't do it for me. So I can understand how weight has that same effect for people. And it does for me too. At a certain point, it is beyond what I'm attracted to. I think we all have limitations like that. And some of us, like, they're all different. Some people don't like skinny people. So,
Yeah.
like, it's not something that you can say people need to change. It's something that if you are in that group that your husband or your partner is no longer attracted to, it's now a lack of compatibility. You just aren't compatible anymore, and I think it might be time to move on.
Right. Yeah. I think that's probably the case. Because like everybody, I mean, I'm poly. I'm a big believer and attributor of polyamory, and so like there's the whole idea that there's one perfect person out there for somebody, you know? And like I've never just never really under there's been like through 2 or 3 dozen people that I've fallen head over heels in love with in my life. And so it's just difficult for me to understand this whole like one person. And it's like people change. There's always going to be an evolution to people, both physically and mentally
Yeah,
and
but I
emotionally.
mean, beyond that, even you have limitations to what you're physically attracted to. And I'm not going to
Absolutely.
out the one big glaring thing that I know about that you probably are aware of also, but I know that you have had trouble with being attracted to some people in the past
Absolutely
in ways
have.
that they
Absolutely.
cannot control.
That is absolutely the case.
I think
100%.
when we try to tell people that they deserve to be loved and that they do not deserve to be shamed, that does not include forcing everybody to be attracted to them.
No, of course not. You can't force anybody to be attracted to anybody. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I know that you kind of had the stance of that they should still love their partner even though they gained some weight. And they
Yeah,
do.
originally I was when we were talk when I started talking about it. Yeah, I did struggle with that when I first started thinking about this article. But I guess I haven't also I don't think I've had the experience of somebody really changing during a relationship. Because that's really the thing. Because like you know some things that we don't aren't attracted to, we're not going to get into a relationship with somebody and then they're going to turn into that. No one that you start dating is going to turn into George Clooney. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, I mean, you don't know, maybe.
Right. When we
You
get
never
that
know.
celebrity facial reconstructive
Right.
surgery that just is free.
But Ugood's perspective might be spot on too, that maybe the wife hates him and either doesn't want to tell him or doesn't want to admit it herself, and that might be the reason why she gained weight to like push him away.
It's funny that the last thing you had mentioned was, you know, she birthed his kids and now is a muffin top
Right.
because. Because Dr. Psychmom, the writer of this article, specifically called out that, you know, she's known that dudes that are like, I'm not attracted to my wife anymore because she had kids. And she's like, that's some bullshit. I don't know what she said, but, you know, she said that that's not cool. But like, this was a different situation entirely because there was, you know, childhood abuse that really spurred this whole feeling.
Right.
But
And I'm not sure that like we can ask him to just change his trauma because she gained weight. Like, it's not her fault, but at the same time, it's not his either. Like,
It's a situation that needs to be worked through, and finding the
Yeah.
fault or finding the blame is really just distracting, you know,
Right.
at this point. Like,
Right.
they both have things that they need to work on. He clearly
Right.
just needs to work on his trauma for himself. I don't know if that's going to make it to where he becomes a, you know, person that's into larger women. I have no idea if that's what would change for him at all, but like, at least address the trauma regardless of what the outcome is.
Exactly.
And if she's gaining weight for negative reasons, the depressions or anxieties or agoraphobia or anything else that is going on that might be causing this weight gain, then those things need to be addressed and the weight gain will come with it, if that's a thing. But if she's just
Even if it
living life.
doesn't, even if the weight loss, like even if she doesn't lose the weight through like getting therapy for these other things, she'll still be better off. And if the relationship's over, she'll definitely be way better off because she will be kind of more secure in her own body.
Right. And that's the goal for her. We don't even know if that's what she might love her body. And if she does, more power to her. Fantastic. That's amazing. Go for it. But like, that's really the goal at the end of the day, is that whatever she's doing with her body, as long as she loves it, in my opinion. And yeah, abuse is subjective.
So
True.
we should probably move on to the next one if that's okay. I don't want to like abruptly change topics, but I don't know
That's
if
my
there's much
jam.
more we can say about this one.
No. And, you know, it got us into thinking about how we perceive life, and we shared that, and that's amazing. Let's move on.
Okay. So the next one is by our native writer, Yougood.
Fellow monster, fellow pea, you
I can
good?
feel her cheeks burning now.
It's fine. Yougood wrote an article called "To Celebrate a Lifetime of Being Fine," which I was delighted to read. Twice, actually. Do you wanna launch into the early soliloquy this time, or shall I do it again?
Oh, did you do it last time? I don't know. I feel like I always do the things, so I've been trying to like step aside
Well,
so that I'm not always talking.
you asked me what I felt about the previous article,
Yeah,
and I
that's
kind of went
true.
into a
That's true. Well,
general
that's because I didn't want to like.
form my opinion. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
and I
did.
feel like I changed your mind there in the middle. So I feel like it was the right call. But
Maybe.
yeah,
I
I
can.
can kind of go over a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna go through all the specifics, but Yougood was talking about something I find very relatable in that like you reach 40, which I did last year. She's turning 40 this year, and you look at your life and you're just like, what's going on here? Now her thing, like it started out with the possibility of a party. And she
You know.
started thinking about like who would she even want at her party? All of her friends just felt superficial. And I don't know, she worked through the like idea that, you know, I don't need a lot of people. I just need people that love me. I need, you know, quality over quantity.
Real people,
Real
yeah.
people.
Not that anyone's really fake. It's just that whether or not you are in relation to the relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's a I'm sure that it is something that affects a lot of people out there, because like, I feel like a lot of people in America, or in first world countries, or the Western nations, whatever you want to say, through their 20s, it's just this, and in teens, it's just this wild, like, gathering people fest. And some of them are people that have real connection to you. Some of them are just ancillary or incidental because of who you happen to run into in certain places. And like, you know, really looking at some of those relationships and seeing them for how shallow they probably are is very difficult for people to see, I think. Because there's potentially either a shame or a blame that's going to come along with it. Like, I didn't do a good enough job to make this relationship deeper, or I'm going to blame the other person for not doing a good enough job to make this relationship deeper, you know? And I
Right.
think that when people look at it like that, that's what comes up. But, well, if you can, do you want to respond to that before I butt it?
I mean, I don't. You
Okay.
can go ahead. I have other things to say, but I don't know that they have to do with what you're talking about. So continue.
Okay, right on. I think that there's a different way to look at the relationships that we go through, you know, like that that they are the experiences that they are. And I'm only saying this because I don't feel like we should regret the time that has gone by, but I think that it's valuable and important to be able to realize where the what the state of our current relationships are. And Yugood's article, I'm sorry, this would be a change in topic, so if you want to go next, you can. But I was just going to say that Yugood's article was so much about giving to people and not receiving in return,
Yeah.
about constantly just justifying anything that happened to her as being, normal, or it's fine, or it's whatever, or it's something I can get through.
Yeah.
And man, was that real. My goodness.
I feel a lot of the underlying, like, I don't know that maybe she did spell it out and I just forgot, but I don't know if she did or not. But it feels like this sort of keeping up with the Joneses sort of thing, where all of the friend groups around, middle age, everybody's still so busy trying to make sure that they have or appear like they have the things you're supposed to have and that you're doing the things you're supposed to be doing. And so the friendships end up somewhat transactional. Yogurt's like 100%. And so instead of being real, instead of having meaning to the friendships, it's sort of like checking off the box of, I went to this person's birthday party. I saw these people at the holiday mixer, or you know what I mean? And
Right, I
Yugood
asked.
was kind of in the background that she was like really trying to connect with these people. It wasn't about the status or making sure to check the box to her. It was more about, are we friends? Like, this is a time, like, this is what friends are supposed to do, and we're supposed to build more. But they weren't interested in connecting, and her way of kind of getting through that was like, it's fine, until it wasn't fine.
Yeah, and that's a it's a big moment, and it's a growing moment. It's a moment that you evolve a little bit as a person into something that knows a little bit more. But it's painful, certainly.
Yeah.
I remember fondly all of my friends from high school, because when I moved at the very end of middle school, I chose to reinvent myself, and I made what I felt were very close friends in high school. And we pledged loyalty to each other in certain regards,
Aw.
me and several of them in various ways. One of them I was supposed to get married to if we both turned 30, and neither one of us were married. I cared deeply about those relationships. And when I look back, I still very much care about all of those people, but I certainly didn't put in myself. I didn't put in enough effort to maintain those communications. And I can certainly look back and be like, I maintained a lot of those communications for as long as they did last. And there was no effort put in from the other people too. And it's sad.
It
And
is really sad.
reading Yugood's article, I kind of felt a little seen, and I appreciate that greatly.
You remember my like late 20s, early 30s, like that was like my whole life. All of the
Yeah.
friends that I had that I thought that they were the true ones because they had lasted through so much already, they just fell away. And I was just like constantly just like, I need some freaking friends. I'm going insane here. And I had to learn to live without having friends. Like, I just didn't have them anymore.
Yeah.
It was really painful.
We appreciate the hugs, you good.
Yep.
I don't know whether it's a natural part of growing up to leave groups of people behind, and that learning how to deal with that grief is some, natural human evolution. I certainly know people that have been friends with their best friends since freaking kindergarten. My dad's best friend was somebody he went to high school with.
I do have
So,
a friend that I've had since I was 10.
yeah, that's right. And
Yeah.
that's a good friend
Oh my
too. I
God,
know
she's
that one.
amazing. But
Yeah.
they're few and far between. Those are like some super gems. And we fell out. Like not that we had a like falling out necessarily, but we didn't talk for like a decade.
Yeah.
And I thought I had lost her forever. So, you know, it sometimes you lose the friends and then you find them again.
Yeah. And Yugid says, think of how many just stay in superficial relationships for their whole lives, though. So many of them, they just accept it and don't care, maybe. And maybe we care more than most. I
So
don't
my
know.
family seems to be like that. And from what I've gathered from my family, not my chosen family, I mean the ones that I, you know, came from in
Grew
childhood,
up with, yeah.
they seem to not believe that what friendships I have are even real. They don't believe them. It's like I'm telling them about unicorns, literal unicorns. Me talking about my friendships, they sound like they listen to it with the same kind of belief as you would listen to a 5-year-old talking about playing with dragons in the backyard. They literally do not believe that it is possible. They think I'm delusional and a little bit insane, but that makes me happy, and so they're fine with it.
Cute. And it's really just that people don't understand different experiences. There's a lot of people. Well, maybe it's just people around this area. Maybe the Midwest is rife with this, but like there's a lot
Maybe.
of people that are just like, I can't trust others. I'm not a, I, I'm, there's no chance that I'm going to share who I really am with other people because then they'll have power over me. And it's like, that's the good stuff.
Yeah, I think that the missing link there is that the right people don't abuse that power over you.
No, they nurture it. They
No.
give you more power by
Right.
knowing that shit.
Right. If you give people, the right people, power over you, you will know they're the right people because they don't hurt you with it. At least not
Yeah, and it.
intentionally. They may accidentally. Everybody hurts everybody accidentally, but they don't purposefully go out of their way to undermine you, to hurt you, to abuse you, to take the things that you have. You don't have to worry about being vulnerable with them because that's the point of finding the right ones.
Right. And when they do hurt you, they care that they hurt you.
Right.
Like, but it takes a lot of courage for people that have been hurt so many times in the past to put themselves out there enough to allow another person to hurt them. And I guess I get that. I mean, I guess I understand it in a certain regard, but it's so worth the risk to me.
And I
Of
don't.
course, I'm not really like reaching out in my like local community to make new friends or whatever. I feel so socially overwhelmed that maybe I shouldn't be talking about
Well,
this,
actually,
but
that's a good place to segue because I don't want to like ruin the end of the article. I want people to go to Ugood's article and read it, but it actually does have a really uplifting solution to me. The
yeah.
place where she goes with this realization of kind of digging into all of this history of like, are these people really friends? And like understanding her own experience of the loss of those friendships. At the very end of this tunnel is a bright silver lining and a rainbow that's, I think it's wonderful. And I
Yeah,
think that
I agree.
anybody that reads it, if you're dealing with something like this right now, go and read it and see where she went and see if that resonates with you, because I think it might be really helpful.
Of course,
Thank
you good?
you. Thank you. I loved this article. It was wonderful.
It was delightful. I enjoyed it a lot.
So,
Love.
usually the third article is the uplifting one, and the second article ended up being kind of both a little bit of the abused stuff and hopeful. So, for this particular episode, I'm using this slot for the third article to be about my new submission guidelines for Abuse Road. Because I want people to write for that particular publication, and I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. I just want to talk about it and see if maybe people are interested in writing for Abuse Road.
Right. And so you've posted your submission guidelines somewhere, is that correct?
Yes. Yes, they're on Medium in Abuse Road. Did you want me to
Right.
send you the link? Did you need to find it?
No, I can find it. I mean, I'm currently on UGoods article, so I can just click on the pub
Oh, yeah.
there. But yeah, so
Oh, and I feel a
maybe.
little bit bad about that. Sorry, before you start up, I feel a little bit bad about it because I published this after I published YouGood's story, and YouGood used a portrait picture instead of a landscape orientation picture. I'm gonna be a little stickler from here out, but I wasn't for that particular one. No, it's fine.
It's okay.
You didn't
It's
do
totally
anything
fine.
wrong, YouGood. I didn't think about it when I published it, so that was completely on me. But then I put it in the submission guidelines so that from here on, please make it, the landscape, because it looks better on the actual publication. No, you don't have to edit it. It's fine.
No, the picture
Unless
you
you
put on
want
there,
to. Only do it if you want to.
the picture you put on there, you good is just fantastic. It's perfect for that. Perfect for that. Yeah. There are a lot of elements to that article that I really like, but I don't want to call out every single one of
I
them
know.
because everyone should check out the article.
Yeah. And you can check it
Anyway,
out
yeah.
through Abuse Road. So so what I want Abuse Road to be is hard for me to really put into words, which is ironic. But basically we're kind of gonna feel this out together. I want it to be about abuse, but I don't want it to get traumatic. At least
Right.
I want people to be able to go here, whether they have been abused or have abused others, and they're looking for change. They're looking to understand. I want both people to have a place to meet here in the middle as a sort of truce area, on the edge
Yeah.
of abusers and the abused to meet and talk about why these things are happening and what we want things, how we want things to be different. Because I believe more people that are abusive can be rehabilitated to no longer be abusive than we are really giving credit to. And I think doing that would help people that are being abused be less abused in the long run.
Absolutely.
Not in the past, obviously, but sorry.
Right. Because and I think that the difficulty is going to be about, dealing with abuse deals with the abuse of the past, and so those emotions are going to be coming up at the same
Right.
time. But I love your intention to, bring all of these people together and to communicate, to try and really openly communicate about what happened, to be able to move forward with
Right.
that. There's
Right.
so many like mythologies and philosophies out there that talk about how harming someone harms the self. Like, and the
They were talking about abuse.
it's really easy to see that that is definitely the case in abuse. And you can see it very easily in the fact that the abused oftentimes become abusers.
They call that abusive self-defense. If anybody listening wants to know more about abuse, from a reputable source, thehotline.org is where I get everything. I double check if I'm calling something an abuse. I will double check it through that website because they have all these different ways of saying, this is what abuse looks like. This is how you can tell that it is abuse. It all basically comes down to control. But people who have been abused were put in that power struggle, and they might very often actually end up feeling very insecure about what they are allowed to control, what they have control over. And sometimes they overcorrect when they get out of the situation where they're being abused, and then they become abusive because they've overcorrected and taken more control than they should because they are still unhealed. And so they tip the
Right.
scales from being abused into being an abuser. And I don't want to demonize people that are going through that struggle as if that's all they can ever be.
Right, because change and growth is so important to realize. And There's no reason to continue. I'm sorry. There's no way to just give people the reason to dehumanize people and saying this is an abuser, so we don't have to care about them anymore. And
Right.
it's like that's not going to help anything because
Right.
there's so many abusers out there that they when they were abused was when they were kids. And so it wasn't just that they were being abused, they were also learning how to treat other
And
people
learning how to
for the first time.
live.
Yeah. Like they were learning from their parents how you're supposed to treat other people to live a life. So they were learning how to protect themselves and abuse others. That's what they learned, because that's the example that they were given. And then they turn into abusers. But that doesn't mean that that's who they have to be their whole life. A lot of them, a lot of people that have been abusing people for decades are not going to believe it, but like you can get to a point where you no longer just feel angry at everybody for ruining your life all the time.
I am account I can say that is 100% true. Not everybody will
Yeah.
get to that point, but I was like that. That was me. I was abusive. I was angry at everything and everyone for making me and my life the way it was. And one day I woke up and I wasn't angry anymore. It didn't happen like that. There was a lot of work put into it, but I'm just saying that that time can come.
It's a gradual change and an evolution of spirit. And anyone that thinks that our spirit doesn't evolve over time is incorrect. I apologize.
I read somewhere, and I don't remember where because it was years ago, but I read somewhere somebody talking about the biggest difficulty with abuse in our society is that we don't feel comfortable. The people who are being abusive don't we can't come out and say, "Yes, I screwed up. That was abusive. I'm sorry." Because as soon as you admit that you have been abusive, you're automatically labeled as an abuser and nobody wants to talk to you. And therefore, that person who was an abuser can't heal as an abused person. They were almost invariably abused into that behavior, but they aren't allowed to heal because no, you abused somebody else, so we're not even going to listen to what happened to you because who cares?
Yeah.
And so when people try to talk about, oh, well, we need to focus on healing people who have been abused, they don't mean abusers. And I find that to be,
An oversight at the least.
yeah, because it doesn't just, on one hand, you can look at it as they were abused, and so you're cutting out all of these people who were also abused and saying that they somehow aren't allowed to heal. But on the other hand, you're saying to all the people who have been abused and didn't turn into abusers that these people over here that did turn into abusers, you have to defend yourself against them indefinitely because they'll never change.
Right. Such a good
And you're
point.
telling people who have never been abused, hey, watch out for these people because they're never going to change. So you just have to watch out and never get affected by them. And
Right.
that makes no sense to me when I know not all of them, not every abuser can be rehabilitated, but I don't think that it's our job to determine which ones can and can't. I believe as a society, it is our job to determine what we're going to do to help and let people help themselves as best as they can, and they'll filter themselves out accordingly. And that's
And
what I want from writers. I want people that understand that perspective and want to write from that place.
right. And I do want to chime in because there's always a possibility that someone's going to come in and be like, oh, you're going to protect abusers, huh? And it's like, we're going to protect all of the abused.
I'm not
That's our
protecting anybody.
intention.
I want to give them all representation and give them human decency. I'm going to treat them all like they're all human beings. And if anybody has a problem with that, I'm really not sure what you want out of this world.
Sure, absolutely. But we do absolutely care about the experiences and the feelings of the people that have been abused. That's a thing that's happened to many, many, many people, and being able to share that is important as well. So we get that. But that's a lot of places that are, I mean, there's whole government programs set up to help people that have been abused in certain ways. You know what I mean?
And
There's a
there
bunch
are
of stuff.
places where people fall through the cracks. So I'm not going to say that's a perfect system, but this is
No.
something nobody's doing.
Right. At least not that we've
Not
seen.
in a
Nope.
big enough area to make a dent in it. So we're going to be a tiny corner of the internet that maybe starts trying to make it happen too.
It'd be nice, you know, just to put a voice out there saying, let's not dehumanize people
Right.
to the best of
Now,
our ability.
obviously, people who have been abused can still write. I'm not saying that that's not allowed. I'm just saying I don't want it to be the usual, like, oh, I was abused. How horrible is this kind of story? I want it to be a thoughtful piece about this was what it was like. Maybe they'll take the spin of it being difficult to know that this was abuse, and then realizing, oh, this is abuse, and understanding that that might be somewhat difficult to see as an abuse, which even if you're just taking it from the abused side, an abuser will read that and be like, you're right. I didn't notice that was abuse either, even though I'm doing it to other people. I've had that response personally. And so like that's okay. That's fine. But like I don't want somebody just to be all like, oh, abusers are so terrible. I saw this one writer, I don't remember her name, but she was very opinionated against narcissists. To the point where she decided that they were incapable of change, and she lumped abusers and narcissists in the same category and was pretty much just angrily labeling anybody who had even one tiny, like, narcissistic trait as being just irredeemable. And I'm like, I don't want that. I know that that's a popular opinion on some places. That is not what I want.
Right. Because look, if you've been abused so often that you're like, I just need to have a box that I can shove people into that I can then ignore those people because I can't be hurt any, I can't allow myself to be hurt anymore. I get it. I get it. I get that that's what you're doing. You need to
Abuse
protect
Road is
yourself in that
not the
way.
place for you.
But
You
that's
need an
not
abuse parkway.
sure, exactly. But yeah, but it's not okay to just hate on people. It's okay to express what you've experienced. Try not to be too traumatic, or not to be too traumatic to the reader about that, of course, right? Am I correct in that,
Right,
Tam?
yeah. If traumas need to be revisited, I'm going to be reading them and making sure that, like, is this necessary to traumatize the reader with for the message? So that's going to be on a case by case basis. I'm not going to say that you're not allowed to talk about the things that have happened to you, but if there's not a point to it, I'm going to say that it needs to be removed or downplayed or hinted at, maybe made more vague. You get the gist.
There's all kinds of, there's all kind, I'm sorry to say it, but there's all kinds of like abuse porn out there that you can
Yeah.
go and read about how absolutely horrible somebody was to somebody else. And it's like that I'm very, I like some pretty dark media out there.
It
So
has its
I
place. I'm not
it
saying that
has,
it's bad. I'm just saying
right.
that's
It's
not
got
what I
its
want for
place.
Abuse
You
Road.
can find it if you want it, but
Right.
it's not going to be on Abuse Road.
Right.
That's it. That's really
Yeah.
the intent there. Is not to overwhelm readers. It's to help people to think about what goes into it and to try and just help people abuse less.
Yeah.
Because that's the way we get there, is
And
by
to
helping
notice
people
what abuse
abuse
even
less.
is.
Right.
Because if I'm being honest,
Which
that's at least half the problem on both sides, on the side of being abused and on the side of being abusive. Half the problem is that you don't even know what abuse is. And then the other half is not knowing what you could do instead.
Knowledge,
Knowledge.
information,
Yep.
sharing, and
Which is
communication.
what I'm hoping for walking this abuse road will help us all with. That's my
We'll
intent.
see. We'll see how it goes. I hope I can convince myself to write some reactions to some "Am I the Asshole?" Reddit posts like you did at the beginning.
Me too.
And make it, you know, as interesting as the ones you did, if not, you know, more, if I can get there. But like, yeah, I hope I get that, because I'm really, that seems like an interesting thing, because I like to look at perspectives, of all perspectives,
Yeah.
and
Sort of the
it's just
thing that
fun
we
for
used to
me.
do all the time.
Anything else you want to say about Abuse Road and your new guidelines? Go read the
No,
guidelines for yourself.
go
We were
read the
kind of all over the
guidelines.
place. We were kind of all over the place talking about them, but go check them
I
out.
have a specific way for people to submit to being new writers. You have to read the article to find out. I will, it's not in here yet, but I do plan on putting a free friend link version at the top so that people that aren't members can be writers for Abuse Road also, even if they're not members of Medium. I just haven't done it yet. It's been a week.
Take your time. Do what you gotta do.
By the time this gets put out, which I think we now do on Monday, so it'll be almost a week from now, I will definitely have done it. So,
Final thoughts?
no, bye, you good. Thank you for
Thanks for stopping
joining.
by. We appreciate your time.
Talk
I
about
hope you find
final
smiles.
thoughts.
Right?
Mostly just, trying to redirect people to themonsteralley.com.
And if you have stories, submit to be a writer for Abuse Road.
Yes. And you can find the link to Abuse Road on the website as well, which isn't currently set up, but it will by the time this comes out.
Right.
So I'm working on stuff, but most of the stuff I'm working on that I'm talking about right now will be finished by the time this goes live. It's very
Nice.
confusing. I know.
Oh,
I'm so disorganized.
'cause we're releasing these on Mondays now, is that
Yeah,
correct?
I believe so. Yeah. Sunday or
Yeah.
Monday? I don't know. Which one do you want to do?
Probably Sunday, 'cause I don't want to work on it on Monday. I just want to hit the button on a day that I'm off work. You know what I'm
Okay.
saying?
Yeah.
So Sundays, maybe evening. I don't know. What time do you want to say?
I'm just going to let
Evenings.
you determine that.
We'll just say Sunday evenings, for now, and then maybe we'll get more direct later. But yeah, we've made that decision. That way, we don't push ourselves to overwhelm ourselves to do the editing and everything to get it set up. So,
Yep.
yep. I want to thank you, Good, and Ben Ulansey for popping by and hanging out with us in our chat for a little while. Both of them have had to leave at this point, but we always appreciate you stopping by and taking the time. I'm eternally mortal, and I hope you find smiles this day.
And I'm the Accidental Monster. You can find us both on Medium.com. You can also go to themonsteralley.com and learn about other stuff that we do, like the publications on Medium that we read from on these episodes. And follow yourself always.